Now, Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Well, it doesn't look like it started yet, but rain is in the forecast for the next few days. Not a bad time to get at the clutter inside your house. There's no one more suited to offer us advice in Victoria than Barbara McDonnell, the Clutter Queen. She's also on the executive of the Victoria-based chapter of Professional Organizers of Canada. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Pamela.
Seems to be a good time of year to look at that clutter. Doing a little house cleaning on my desk this morning. I was trying to find my research for your story.
Uh-oh.
That I had to sift through a whole lot of papers. It took me far too long. How long does it take the average person, or how much time do we waste per day looking for lost things?
The statistics say that the average person wastes 1 hour a day just looking for lost items.
Well, I think I've already racked up a few minutes there. What is it about us that, I think the intention is always that we like to have things in order, but we just get so busy sometimes, it's hard to keep things in place.
Exactly. I think people think that it's a waste of time to get organized. They're just so busy they don't have the time to take to organize. And yet if they spent even an hour, it would probably save them 3 or 4 hours down the road.
But how do we actually change our thinking and say, okay, I'm gonna front load here. I'm going to make sure this happens now. It just seems to go out the window when you're busy. Where do you get that discipline from?
Well, you really need to make an appointment with yourself. And it's just like a doctor's appointment or a hairdresser's appointment. You just make it for yourself because you're important too. And then you just begin. And people will say, well, where do I begin? But, you know, frankly, it doesn't matter where you begin. It only matters that you do. So you might begin in a corner and work your way around the room, or you might just spend 10 minutes in that corner and go back to it at a later date.
Is there a certain kind of person you come across who's disorganized, a certain sort of profile? I don't know if you do that with people with clutter, that you see, you go into people's homes and help them out. Do you see, or is it just across the board?
Well, they say that 75% of people are not naturally organized. So all you people out there that beat yourself up because you're not, stop that, because you can learn to do some things to cope with the fact that you're not naturally organized.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about those in a second. I'm going to put a call out to our listeners. If you have a problem with clutter, or if you're reformed and have found a way to deal with it, give us a call, 250-386-1161, *1070 on your cell, or email us, talk@cfax1070.com. Right, so you're giving us a profile of the kind of person who has clutter or who doesn't have clutter. Most of us obviously do.
Yes.
And, you know, I think the really pointy end of the stick here is that we don't realize how much time we waste, and also the stuff that we hang on to, how we don't... it might be there, but we're not using it. Tell us about that. How much stuff we have sitting about that doesn't really retain its value?
Well, if you're not using it and it's not something that you love, then it's just taking up space and it's stealing your time, too, because you need to dust it and repair and maintain it. It's costing you money because you're probably insuring it. And if there's a lot of clutter, when you come into your house, you're just distracted by it all, so you're not even noticing the treasures that you have and love.
I think it's interesting in doing my research that it actually can affect us psychologically. We're not talking hoarders, but we're talking just, you know, walking in the house and maybe not being aware right off the bat, oh, my house is cluttered. But how does it impact us and in our mood when we have clutter about?
There's a woman named Ariane Benefit, and she says on her Neat and Simple Living blog, clutter drains your energy, and you don't realize it until your energy is gone. When items go a long time unused, unloved, and uncared for, they become stuck, stagnant energy that physically drains you of your energy.
So people in your business actually know that it brings us down.
Yes, absolutely.
And conversely, once you have gone through the clutter, is it just a momentary high? Gosh, I've managed to find the time, the discipline to do this. Or is there an ongoing benefit just from the psychological perspective?
There's an ongoing benefit from all perspectives. And as long as they keep up with it, as long as they don't think, okay, I've done that, now it's good forever. Because you have to stay organized. And often when you start to unclutter, your perspective changes on how you see it. And if I go in for 3 hours for somebody, I often get an email the next day saying, oh my gosh, Barbara, I was up 12 hours, sometimes 12 hours, after you left, and I just couldn't stop. You motivated me, and I was able to carry on doing the uncluttering and organizing all by myself after you left. So people that do that really understand the whole process, and then they can continue doing little things on their own. Or if it gets at some point so they're buried under it again, they might call me in for another appointment just to get them back on track.
Is it a matter of organizing what's in our houses already, or is it a matter of purging, or both?
It's both. It's both. It depends on how much stuff a person has. And I have to say that a lot of my clients, I go in and they're apologizing and they're saying, you know, I used to be really organized and blah, blah, blah. And I can tell. I can tell those people because there'll be something in that space that makes me see, yes, they are organized, but something happened in their life. Maybe a new baby came into it, or it became a blended family, or there was an illness or something like this. And they then get behind in it all, and it just overcomes them. So then they need to call in somebody to help.
What about the idea of not bringing things in at the first place, cutting back?
Yes, absolutely. And often that's what happens after an appointment, because people see all the things that are leaving their environment that they don't love anymore, perhaps never did, or that they don't use. And that motivates them and inspires them to look around at what's left. So after I've finished with an appointment, people start to view their things differently. And so they might say, I've got a box here for donation, and I'm every day or once a week, I'm seeing things that I can add to that box, because now I'm seeing more of my stuff. And as I said, in a different perspective. But also, they're able to see more of their things because at least one layer of that clutter has been removed.
Wow, well, we're talking layers.
Oh, yeah.
What if I really love something, but I'm not using it? And I open up the cupboard, I'm in the box, and I think, ah, gosh, I forgot about this. I just love it. How do you get rid of that stuff?
You don't. Those are the things you want to keep. Those are the things that make you feel really good inside and probably carry some really nice positive memories. So those are the things you keep. You don't have to use everything. But if you've got an item that you love, you should display it so that then you see it and it makes you feel good. Every day.
I have a lot of doodads. I might have to call in that area. When we come back, Barbara McDonnell, the Clutter Queen, is with us. We're going to find out just how much you are spending on storage in order to keep goods you might not be using. I'm Pamela McCall, back after this.
Email talk at CFAX1070.com. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. When news breaks, Victoria counts on CFAX 1070.
BC Liberals survived a confidence vote in the legislature.
I sincerely apologize for that document.
Get ready to dig deeper into your pockets if you're traveling by ferry. SBC Ferries has announced ferry rates will rise April 1st.
If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
What would you do if you won groceries for a year?
I'd fill my swimming pool with yogurt and then go for a really slow swim.
Steak and chocolate milk for every meal. And carrot sticks. I mean, I'm not an animal.
I'd make a wall of cheese.
I'd feed my family.
Yeah, okay.
That makes sense.
What you do with it is up to you. But first, you have to win the CFAX 1070 Great Grocery Giveaway. Here's how it works. Watch for me, Al Farabee, during CTV News with Hudson Mack. I'll show you a Thrifty Foods product. Remember that item and listen the next weekday morning at 7:15. You could win a $50 Thrifty Foods smile card and qualify to win free groceries for a year. Terry Moore has another chance to win in the afternoon at 4:15. Details at CFAX1070.com. Win the CFAX 1070 Great Grocery Giveaway and feed your family for a year. Or you can do what this guy's planning, a wall of cheese
and a house made of bacon.
If you're waiting until the government lifts the HST before you start work on your house, you're waiting for no reason at all. Because if you hire the experts at Handyman Connection, you won't pay the HST. For a limited time, Handyman Connection will waive it on new projects over $1,500. So don't wait. Get in touch with Handyman Connection, your small to medium home repair and renovation specialist today.
Let's do this.
Learn more at victoria.handymanconnection.com.
It's End of the Rolls Massive Inventory Blowout, where you'll get incredible discounts on brand-name flooring. Save an additional 25% off selected hardwood and get deluxe texture carpet from only $1.79 per square foot. Also, check out other specials on laminate, vinyl, tiles, area rugs, and much, much more. It's in stock and ready to make your home beautiful right now. Visit the Massive Inventory Blowout on now at End of the Roll. Brand-name flooring, low prices, always in stock. Come see our new location on 601 Boliskin and 2364 Mill Stream in Langford.
While you save here, you can also save here. Peninsula Co-op members receive 5 cents back per liter on all the fuel they bought, plus 5% back on any food purchases. While they pump your gas, you can shop the local food market and save twice. Sign up for your lifetime membership for just $27 today at your local co-op.
Fill it up at your co-op. Moving ahead by giving back.
Hi, I'm James McKenzie from Monk Office. As an island-grown company, Monk Office believes in making a difference in our community, including minimizing our impact on our environment. We believe little changes in everyday habits can make a big difference. Take a look at your office supplies. Why not use a pen made from recycled plastic or recycled paper in your printer? Check out all our earth-friendly options in any of our stores or at monk.ca. Together we make a difference.
Very helpful. Most helpful.
Right here at home.
Hi, this is CFAX 1070. I'm Pamela McCall with Barbara McDonnell, the Clutter Queen. I'm really curious about this. How much are people paying for storage? You know, we see all those external places. We've got so much stuff. We've got to haul it off to a little mini storage place. What's going on there?
Obviously, it's a very successful business because storage places are going up all the time. And they say that 60% of the items in our storage have no retention value whatsoever.
60%?
60%. And I've had clients that they've called me in to clear their storage unit, and then they look rather sheepish and they say, I've got four more of these, you know, off the premises. So if they don't have a storage unit that's included with their suites, they are often renting them outside. And the rentals are, over $100 a month. And if they're paying that and then figure it out for a year, they could probably have a holiday at the end of a year instead of having all those things in storage that are probably useless, because out of sight, out of mind is so mm-hmm. true in storage. They throw it in the storage unit and probably don't look at it again for years, if ever. So I've found dozens of university theses and maybe one copy is all they really want. It's that reluctance to let go of something that costs them a lot of money and a lot of time and energy to write. And so, you know, it goes into storage. But ultimately, one copy will do, and they see that by the time I go through with them. They have things in there that are like broken furniture, and they think, oh, I'll fix this someday. Well, you know, they move several times, never get around to looking at what's in their storage to decide, oh, I don't even need to keep this in storage, so they could save some money. So they shift the stuff from one rental apartment storage to another.
I guess there's no real shame when you look at it, because if there weren't so many people doing this, we wouldn't have so many storage units out there. I mean, it's obviously, you know, a big business because we accumulate so much and we don't want to get rid of it. Tell us about what happens with what we file.
I was a secretary at the time I heard this statistic, and at first I didn't believe it. 80% of everything we file is never referred to again. And I thought, okay, I'm going to pay attention to what I file and what I am pulling out to give to somebody for reference. And I thought in the end that it was probably more than 80% that was never referred to again. I probably in a year I was asked 3 times to pull something for reference. So I started getting very particular about what I filed and what I didn't. I don't like filing, and I don't think most people do.
No, but I think there's the idea that we need to hang on to stuff officially. I think it's 7 years for tax records.
Yes.
What do you recommend that we file, and what should we shred?
Well, I think a lot of things, we're already storing them on our computer, and hopefully you have a backup. There's a lot of things that you do need to hold on to for tax purposes, but mostly the things that we tend to file are things we think, oh, I'm going to refer to this, but in actuality, you could go to the computer and probably get more up-to-date information on the spot and maybe not even have to print it out. Just refer to it, get the information, and carry on. It's just a matter of being aware of, okay, we don't refer to much of what we file, so let's really think about what we file before we file it.
Well, I think obviously that's changing because people are saving things online and or, you know, on disk and sticks and the like. But when it comes to actually having hard copies in your hands, where do we find out that information? You know, like specific information of you don't need to hang on to this. Clearly the thesis that the person had several copies of, one would be fine. But when it comes to actual official records, I mean, is it just common sense, birth certificates?
Some of it is common sense. Some of it varies according to different tax people and investment counselors. I have a tip sheet that people who hire me get, but I always say to them, you know, check with your own advisor because they might feel a little bit differently on it. There's no cut and dried rules on it, but it gives a guide. And certainly anything with an account number on it, not necessarily a bank account number, but like your hydro bills, your Shaw bills, all those sorts of things usually come attached to your own account number. And they say it's very wise to shred all of that because people could hook onto your telephone bill, for instance, and start making long-distance calls. That would be a shock.
Well, Terry Moore had a great show on the other day here on CFAX about scams and about, yes, the need to shred things. But you can also have your accounts online. There's a big push to be paper-free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my bank keeps saying to me, you're still getting paper statements.
Right.
What about going online? Are you seeing a desire in your business for people to do that so that they don't have to deal with the wads of paper files?
Some people, yes, and the other people are just of the old school. They really want to have paper so they can quickly look at at it physically mm-hmm. more than on a screen. So I'd say 50-50.
I guess there's the fear, too, that, gosh, if I throw this out and I need it, you know, it's going to be a problem. So when it comes to putting files together, I mean, we're coming up to tax time and people, I guess, are looking at what they're pulling out. Is it a good time for people to purge the things they don't directly need for tax purposes or for, you know, serious sort of legal issues that they need to hang on to?
I would say that January is a better time because they're probably too busy right now rounding up all their file or their tax information.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a monthly newsletter that's free, and I say things like that to people. You know, it's January, cull your files, cull your old spices, go through all your meds and take the expired ones to a drugstore for responsible recycling. And I think they're just too busy right now to be doing that. But if in the process of pulling their information for tax purposes, they see things that, oh, I'm not going to need this again, sure, put it aside.
Since you're there anyway, pulling through things, yeah.
Yes.
What about home insurance? I understand that you think that people can save money on their home insurance by decluttering. How does that work?
Well, because their home insurance is covering all their possessions as well as the home itself. And if they have less possessions, they're not having to pay as much insurance to cover what they have.
I guess I just didn't ever think of clutter as being something that I would insure.
Well,
I guess
you don't think of it that way. People who have a lot of stuff, they think it's all valuable, and until they start uncluttering, they don't realize that, oh, some of this stuff really isn't. It can move on. And, yes, why pay the top insurance rate if you don't have as much stuff that needs coverage?
Now, clearly this is your business, but you do make a point that a pro organizer can save people time and money,
mm-hmm.
And that you think that the way people can offset the cost is by selling off some goods.
Yes, and when I go into a client, I can tell them, okay, we can sell or consign this, so we'll put it in this box, and this should be a donation because it's a smaller item. It's something that can be sold at the Salvation Army, but not a consignment store. And the little things, it's not really worth your while to put it on usevictoria.com or anything like that.
But some money to be made, and people perhaps feel better parting with things, knowing that they can, you know, get a little money out of it, or that someone else is going to keep using it.
Yes, that's true. And then occasionally I have a client who says, you know what, I don't even want to bother with that. I just want it gone and out of my sight, and they move on and feel really good about that.
Do people ever find it strange having you poke around their house? The personal belongings.
I've never had anybody feel like that, and I thought it might be like that initially. I've been quite shocked. I've gone to I usually don't meet people before they hire me. We talk on the phone. We might do a bunch of emails, but then I show up and I'm virtually a stranger. And very often the mom will say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go to school now and pick up the kids. Are you all right in your own here for half an hour?" And off they go, and I'm going like, holy smoke.
Do you charge extra for the babysitting?
Well, I guess it's like it's wonderful that they trust me like that, and I guess they could find me if they needed to, if something went missing. But it's startling to me how quickly they'll just leave their home in my care and off they go.
There's also a code of ethics for the professional organizers of Canada, yeah?
Yes, yes. So members must be honest and show empathy for clients. They have to respect confidentiality, which is huge because no matter what I'm dealing with in a home, it comes with confidentiality. And they have a lot of personal information, although I might not be dealing in that area. I might be just dealing with physical clutter rather than personal papers. And we maintain an objective manner, so there's no judgments made.
So do you go to school to become the clutter queen, or are you, you join this professional organization?
You join, well, those of us who wanted to have joined the professional organizers in Canada, which is an excellent organization, and you get a lot of peer support through it, which is wonderful. They help you market your business, and we have a once a year conference, which is huge. There's 400 members across Canada in the professional organizers in Canada, and so it's quite exciting to go to a conference and be meeting with people who are dealing with the same sorts of things. It's really nice to be able to talk to somebody who maybe has some different insight coming from a different part of the country, or, you know, you have things in common, but there's also differences.
All right. Well, and it's good to know that there's a code of ethics. You have a newsletter. You have a website. How can people find you?
They can find me at www.clutterqueen.ca. And the professional organizers in Canada, listeners can go there. I'll give you that in a minute. And then if they live outside Victoria or in Victoria, it doesn't matter, anywhere on Vancouver Island, they can poke in their city and find an organizer who lives near them.
Okay, Barbara, we're just out of time here, so one last quick piece of information.
Okay, www.organizersincanada.com.
Thanks so much for being on the program.
You're
it's always
welcome.
A pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's Barbara McDonnell. She is the Clutter Queen.